like to do in this talk is give you a short description of the research to practice series that we have developed. We call it the R2P. To then talk about the process that we've used in developing this and to talk a little bit about some of the lessons that we've learned from doing this activity. We started this series in 2003 in response to requests from a number of our stakeholders to help them understand what they could or could not recommend in areas where the science is not entirely clear. So for example, can eating fruits and vegetables help in managing your weight? There are numerous studies, but they hadn't all been gathered together and summarized and presented in a way that that really helped people understand. Also, the Division of Nutrition, Physical Activity, and Obesity at CDC lists six major focus areas for our state programs and that we recommend. These are physical activity, fruits and vegetables, sugar-sweetened beverages, breastfeeding, portion size, and television. These are listed as promising for the prevention and control of obesity and other chronic diseases, but in a number of these areas, the science really hasn't been assessed and summarized in a way that is helpful for public health professionals. The R2P series consists of a scientific brief that summarizes the evidence for public health professionals and provides information on how to apply some of the science in practice. At the time we first started developing these, they also requested a PowerPoint presentation to help them in presenting some of the science to some of their colleagues, to some of their funders, to their supervisors. We also then go down another level and have been developing what we call a practitioner tool to use with their audiences. We started with fruit and vegetable coordinators, the first R2P that we did, and they wanted print materials to hand out directly at health fairs and to the general public. So that is the kind of tool that we've developed so far, but this is something that we're starting to rethink a little bit, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. We also take then the material that we've developed for print materials for the general public and repurpose that and put it on our website. So we try to get a number of bangs for our bucks. The topics that we have addressed or are in the process of addressing right now are listed here: fruits and vegetables and weight, portion size, sugar-sweetened beverages, breastfeeding, energy and density, food away from home, the therapeutic lifestyle changes program, diet from NHLBI, and just started on something on weight loss maintenance. This is an example of one of the practitioner briefs, and it's the fruit and vegetable one. What we do in these briefs is to bring together all the evidence that we can find, lay it out in a logical way, and talk about conclusions that we can make from the evidence and things that we can't say. So how far can you go? What then could our audiences, the public health practitioners, say? And what should they not say? No, the evidence is not going to support that. We lay it out briefly and directly with headings that clearly describe the following text. We try to break it up with some pictures. There are lots and lots of references, which people have found to be very helpful. We also try to then pretest these with a few relevant practitioners. This is the tool. It actually is a brochure for the general public. I've brought some that are on the front here, and this gives you some sense of what one of these looks like. This is for the fruit and vegetable coordinators to hand out to their general public audience. We use very direct statements on why fruits and vegetables are important in relation to weight, how they could incorporate this into their own lives. Lots of pictures, some substitution types of things. This is actually in Spanish and English. The other ones are not in Spanish. They're only in English at this point. This is the PowerPoint presentation, the beginning of it. And here's an example of the next slide from the intro slide. And here are some other examples I'm going to briefly give you. Again, here's the practitioner brief, the more scientific document. They all have the same look, same color scheme, and pretty much the same type of layout across the series. And then we also, you'll see, take the graphics from the public piece so that we have each set has a similar look, but then the whole series as well. That one, I'll go back, is 8.5 by 11. This actual piece opens up into a full layout of tips for portion size that are based on a little game. Sugar sweetened beverage, again the same type of thing. Here's the brochure that comes out of that. One of the things it's pointing out is that you need to consider the calories in your drinks as well as the calories in your food, which is something that oftentimes people don't do. And then a number of substitutions, or how, if you have a bigger drink or a smaller drink, what the implications of that in terms of calories are. This is the breastfeeding one. This is one is a little bit different because it has a slightly different audience. It's for pediatricians, hospital administrators, and staff, as well as public health people who work in breastfeeding. And so the tool is a crib cart, one for boys and one for girls. And these give a number of reasons for breastfeeding on the crib cart. Okay, what I'd like to do now is switch gears and talk about how we've been doing this work. We have a core group of about 8 people. This is, we said in the title, a multidisciplinary group consisting of epidemiologists, public health nutritionists, behavioral scientists. We also have health educators and communicators, a number of graphic artists who work on this, and because we're at CDC, the Associate Director for Science has a pretty big role. We will often then have a core group, but we have scientists who kind of come in and out of the process depending on the topic. So we had one scientist who wrote the sugar sweetened beverage one, and when she finished that, she then went off to do other things. So we will have a little bit of movement in this, but there is a core group. Just the history of the process is one of the places that we learned a lot of our lessons. The first R2P, the one on fruits and vegetables, was, I will admit, not very efficiently developed. We did this, the scientific document and the public piece at the same time. And we also did these activities as an entire group. So we had this group of people who all have a different approach to life and to work, all trying to do the same thing. And it was incredibly time-consuming. There were lots of inefficient back-and-forth types of activities trying to get some kind of consensus among a group that really had very different approaches. So after this, we decided, well, let's do this a little better. Streamline the process, and what we do now is that the lead scientist writes a summary report of the science and clears it with the associate director for science. So we know here is the scientific document. Then we identify a team to develop and test the practitioner brief, any tool we develop, and the PowerPoint slides. The entire group does review the products and the comments. We try to do some of that by email, and that that helps a bit, but again, having the entire group review it is also not probably as efficient as we might want to be, but we do have, you know, buy-in issues and people really wanting to be involved. It's a very dedicated group of people who really think this is a very important activity. But I think, as Allison said, it takes about 2 years per document. The scientific piece is really long because they're pulling together huge amounts of data. A little less than a year ago, we had a strategic planning retreat. And this was to assess our accomplishments and the process, but mostly to think about the future, particularly because our division has just been going through a reorganization. So what we talked about was the vision for the next 5 years. We did a SWOT analysis. We really wanted to come to some agreement about what our major audiences were and what our objectives for the series were, and next steps. Some of the major decisions we made from this retreat were to look for some more efficient ways to complete the current ones we had. Let's try to streamline this process some more. We also made a decision about our major audience, and that this would be our primary audience would be our funded states. That didn't mean that other people were being ignored, but we wanted to have a focus at least on one group of people who could represent a number of other groups. This actually resulted in we're having to rethink the practitioner tool because our funded state people don't really want something that they can hand out to the public. They want a different level of material. So I'll talk about that a little bit later. Also, because we have such different people working on this team, we decided we needed to do a little bit of standardization and to develop some guidelines for some of the different products, to develop a dissemination plan, and to develop a system for updating the R2Ps. And the main thing we found out is we have got to do some research. We've got to understand our audiences because we really didn't know a lot of what our audiences were thinking about this, except from anecdotal stuff. So we did a needs assessment testing activity, or we're in the process of that right now. Here are some of the kinds of things that we're asking. We've completed three so far, and it's been very eye-opening. So what have we learned from this whole thing? In terms of group process, with a multidisciplinary group, you really need to make sure you're on the same page from the start. And for us, it was in relation to audiences and objectives. And that this, if we knew those two things, then that would guide the rest of the process. And we would have a much better, we'd have much better products and a much better process. We really need to define and assign clear roles for everybody according to their expertise. Having everyone do everything was really a very messy activity. We also needed to try to make our meetings much more efficient. We meet every 2 weeks for an hour, and having a clear agenda, really just trying to stay on track, using a progress chart to guide those meetings, and also putting it on the share drive so people can look and say, okay, that's where we are on this piece. Because we have about 4 or 5 of them in process at any one time. So trying to keep track of those. And then, as I mentioned before, developing these guidelines. Lessons learned about developing useful products. Number one, start with the science. Get the scientist to analyze, interpret, and clear. Now, again, for us, we have this big clearance process without interference from the rest of us so that they can just deal with the science. Then we can be handed the science, and then we can start doing the communication, the health education, all the other translation work, and use that as a basis. It really is useful to have a multidisciplinary team. The scientists are great, but they're not very good at writing for practitioners. They're really not very good at writing for the public. Some people write better for practitioners than for public, some the other way around. So we have, or web writing. So again, it's really helpful to have the mix of people, but you've got to give each person the right job and not expect them to do one that they don't do very well. Again, the importance of knowing your audience to develop good materials, conducting formative research, pretesting, and then, I mean, everybody, these take forever, but if we can get them out faster, that would make us all extremely happy. Current status, the ones that are available right now are fruits, vegetables, and weight, portion size, sugar-sweetened beverages. I have up here also a handout on these. Energy density is almost done. We're currently testing the practitioner briefs for food away from home and the TLC diet, and then weight loss maintenance. The scientist is starting to gather all the data for that one. That's the end. Thank you.
Any questions for our panel?
Yes, for next to the last presenter, when you found that hopefully people wanted to know about Actually, this is a great question. This is a very good question. We did provide some definition of genetics, genomics, public health, genomics in the front of the survey. But because this survey, we not just ask health educators' attitude toward those genomic competencies. We also try to ask their knowledge. So we don't want they have like social desired answers. So we put the attitude questions in the front. So after they finish the attitude questions, they can go to knowledge part of the question. At that part, we provide some information such as the CDC recommend 7 genomic competencies for health educators, and also the IOM's report. And also even in our like PC policy model, we use that very often in health education. It also already incorporates genetics components in that model. Yeah. So I think that is. I can say these kind of bias by their knowledge, but that is our purpose. We try to know what their first impression, and we ask their knowledge later.